ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः इह चेदवेदीत् अथ सत्यमस्ति न चेद् इहावेदीत् महती विनष्टिः भूतेषु भूतेषु विचित्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकात् अमृता भवन्ति ब्रीफ्ली टु कन्क्लूड् दिस् सेकेण्ड् सेक्शन् लेट् अस् see the meaning of this mantra. Iha, in this life, in this present life, when you are here as an individual enjoying this very unique, special, rare human physical body, being endowed with which alone one can accomplish the ultimate goal, mokshaha. One can really attain the knowledge of the truth. One can have the knowledge in its complete sense. Purnam jnanam, purna vidya is accomplishable. One can have complete knowledge of what is, something is and what is that something which alone is. This purnam jnanam is accomplishable only in this life when you are enjoying this human physical body. And we do not know what Sanchita Karma has in store. We do not know. It is not for us to feel bad or low or pessimistic about, oh, what's going to be next happen, not to worry about it. Just to emphasize the fact that this opportunity we should not lose. The very rare and precious opportunity that we are blessed with the Sariram. We are blessed with a unique faculty of knowing. So if avedit ched, if it were to know, then there is definitely truth in one's life. What is the truth? You are the truth. You are the truth, essential reality, and you are the truth of the whole. You are the truth means there's no truth other than yourself in this vast cosmos. Which means when you say you, when I say you are the truth in this vast cosmos, there's no truth other than yourself, means you have to see yourself from the standpoint of consciousness, Atma, and you are including your own dear body, mind, and complex as part of the whole cosmos. When I say for the entire cosmos, you are the truth means your body, mind, and complex already have been included in the cosmos. And you see yourself being a formless, abstracted reality, distinct from the whole. At the same time, you also see the fact of nothing being different from you. Okay, this is the truth. You are the truth, and this is the fact about the truth. This is the fact about the truth. This is fact about yourself that you are the truth. And you are Brahma. You are Atma. You are consciousness. You are existence. You are fullness. And this is a fact. And the truth about fact about the truth, it is possible in this life only as a human being. So, see how precious the span of human life is. Never miss it. Make all possible efforts to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge and to pursue knowledge. No, so that these efforts will definitely keep you in track, that even you will not, there's possibility of not getting into any beings of inferior order. If we do not, if you do not know, then within the Mahati Vinashtihi, great laws, laws is infinite, means what? Timelessly you will be, you know, caught up in this, be trapped into this samsara, this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Of course, going through all those suffering and pain associated with the samsara. So having said that, Upanishad says, the wise person, how does he discover the truth? He discovers the truth as one's own real nature. Then he discovers the fact of this, his own real nature, the truth obtaining in his own mind as the content of I, as the truth of one's own self, is the only truth of all the beings. So vichitya, discerning this truth alone, is obtaining in my existence in all the beings. This is the truth alone is there in the form of happiness and fullness in all the beings. There's no happiness, there's no fullness other than the truth. There's no existence other than reality, this truth. And that truth, which alone is in the form of existence of everything, which alone is of the nature of fullness, is obtaining in the form of consciousness available for recognition on his own mind. And people have discovered vichitya vichitya bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. And those are the people, dhiraha, the wise people, and they become free while living, because all the mental cobwebs created by this wrong notion they entertain about themselves, they are free from that. They are free while living. And when the paradha gets exhausted, they become free for good. Which means they attain videha mukti also. They remain immortal, means they do not become immortal. They were already immortal. They continue to be immortal because of the wisdom. Even though we are all immortal essentially, but we continue to be become mortals. We continue to become mortals because we do not know what we are. The wise people who know, and they continue to be immortals. The immortal beings continue to be immortals if they know. The immortal beings continue to become immortals if they do not know. Okay? And Vichitya Dhiraha, Esther said, how even all the three layers, three bodies, all five layers of personality become disintegrated and become one with Ishvara in the form of Virat, Hiranyagarbha and Antaryamishvara, and Atma Swarupam of the wise person remains as Atma, Brahma. Is called Videha Muktihi, then there's no more mind for the wise person, therefore wise person cannot come back. Okay? This is why I say, see, the mind cannot be physically destroyed. If knowledge takes place, mind will resolve by itself naturally. We do not have any say over the mind. Okay, if the efforts are made to discover what is the truth of this mind, you know, discovering what you are is actually discovering what this instrument of knowledge called mind is. What is this antahkaranam? What are these thoughts which constitute the antahkaranam? Where does this mind exist? What is this mind? Where does it resolve? What is the truth of the mind? You know, discovering the truth of yourself is discovering the truth of what the mind is. Once you discover what the mind will be cognitively resolved in its truth. Like how when you say wave is water, wave becomes resolved cognitively in water, then you don't see wave afterwards, there's only water. Similarly, if you understand the wave is a thing but consciousness, this mind is a thing but consciousness, when you discover the mind becomes resolved in its own sarupam, then there is no more mind. The resolved mind, that is only way of having the mind resolved cognitively, is having the mind destroyed. There is no real destruction. And that is what is real death. Real death means what? No more coming back. Ramana Maharishi used to say itself, may you die, setupo. May you die means what? There's no real death. When the mind is resolved for good, that is death. Why? No more coming back. Understand? So these wise people, therefore they remain, they were immortal. Discovering the fact of their immortality, their nature being immortality, they continued to be immortal. They do not become immortal. Whereas even though we are all immortal, we become mortals because of ignorance. Okay. Now, Dhiraha, one word I want to tell you, then I want to move on to next mantra. I think I have already explained the meaning of the word Dhiraha in the previous Upanishad. Dhihi means intellect. Rati means protects. The verb protects. Dhyam Rati iti Dhiraha. One who protects his mind is called Dhiraha, and the wise person alone is the protector of his mind, because where there is wisdom, where there is knowledge, there is protection. Knowledge is protection. Protection from the fear of death, protection from sense of insecurity centered on I, protection from fear of death is protection from fear for good, which is absolute, utter fearlessness. And the mind, where there is knowledge, there is fearlessness. Where there is ignorance, there is fear. Okay? So ignorance is fear. Knowledge is fearlessness. Fearlessness is protection. Fear is being unprotected. Okay? Unprotection. The Dhiraha is the one who is endowed with the weapon of protection. Protecting himself in the form of knowledge. Okay? Dhiraha asmat lokat pretya amrutaha bhavanti. With this second section is over. We move on to the third section. Tritiyaha khandaha. Now, actually, the core teaching of this Kena Upanishad is over in first two chapters. Now, what is the subject matter of this third and fourth sections? Next two sections or chapters. Khandaha means section, a piece. Okay, what is the subject matter? The same subject matter discussed earlier in the first two chapters is going to be discussed differently through an illustration. The same teaching is going to be illustrated in the form of a story. Which means, I wanted to understand first, before even went into the actual text, Ishvaraha, the Lord, or is God. And we all worship the Lord, we all pray to the Lord, we seek the grace of the Lord, and we all understand Lord is in the form of everything. Lord is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing. Lord is in the form of innumerable countless laws which govern the results of actions, which determines everything, who determines everything. Therefore, we say Lord is the karma phaladata, karma dhyakshaha, the one because of whom all actions are possible. No, the one who does not say anything, just by his presence sees all actions are happening, all functions are happening. Karma adhyakshaha, karma phaladata. The one in whose presence, without being instructed, without giving any instructions, all functions are happening, all actions are happening, the whole world is existing. And the one who bestows the results of actions also in the remaining realm of laws, the two names, karma adhyakshaha, karma phaladata, we hear all about that Ishvara. Now, we have to understand this concept very clearly before we enter into this topic. So, the reality is abstract, formless. When you say reality, the word used in Sanskritam is vastu. Vastu actually means that which alone is. That which is vastu. And anything else which is there, it only seems to be there. What that which alone is vastu. Other than vastu, whatever is only appearance of vastu. Appearance of vastu means manifestation of vastu or appearance of vastu. Why I use the term vastu? Because vastu is abstract. Abstract means what? Subtle. Subtle means what? Subtler. Subtler means what? Subtlest. Subtlest means what? Imperceptible. Unobjectifiable. Inconceivable. Unknowable. If it is imperceptible, inconceivable, if it is indescribable, unobjectifiable, unknowable means that vastu is the, vastu is, we say, the only knower of everything is this vastu. In fact, from the standpoint of vastu, you cannot call vastu knower. Vastu is of the nature of knowing. On the standpoint of all that is objectified, perceived and known and conceived, the vastu is given the status of being the knower. The knower status also is attributed to the vastu from the standpoint of the known, perceived, experienced, enjoyed, objectified, conceived. Okay. And that vastu is implied by the term Brahma because of its nature of limitlessness. The same vastu is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. And that vastu is implied by the term Jnanam because of its nature of knowing. That vastu is implied by the term Satyam or Sat because of its nature of existence and timelessness. Advaistu is implied by the term anantam because of its nature of limitlessness and fullness, all pervasiveness. So the Brahma. Now this vastu by itself is non-recognizable. Vastu is never non-recognizable. Never is it recognizable. Never is the vastu recognizable by itself. It is not recognizable means, why it is not recognizable? Because of its unobjectifiability. Because it is not available for objectification, it is not non-recognizable. Then if at all that vastu has to become recognizable, the vastu has to become recognizable, the vastu should become manifest. Okay? And only when the power of the vastu becomes manifest, the vastu becomes recognizable. Is it? So recognizability of the vastu is dependent on the manifestation of its power. The vastu happens to be implied by the term jnanam. We look at that vastu as a jnanam, the power as jnana shaktihi. The power of knowledge is manifest, then we call it what? Ishvaraha. Now what is Ishvaraha? Ishvaraha is a title attributed to the same reality when the reality is manifest. The reality is recognizable, reality is given the title Ishvaraha. So Ishvaraha is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. So manifest knowledge is Ishvaraha, pure knowledge is Brahma. This have to recognize difference between Brahma and Ishvara. When do you call knowledge Ishvaraha? The knowledge is manifest is Ishvaraha. Knowledge remains as pure knowledge without its manifestation, it is Brahma. And now we say the whole cosmos is manifestation of knowledge, means the whole cosmos is manifestation of Ishvaraha. Therefore, the whole cosmos is Ishvaraha. Isn't it? There's a ball of clay, and the clay, when it is lying in the corner of the pot maker's house, the clay is non-recognizable. Why? It doesn't serve any purpose. It is useless. It is simply there. And the same clay, when it appears as a pot, it is useful. Once the clay enjoys the status of being useful, then it has a form. It assumes it has a form, and that form is denoted by a word also called pot. Okay, the usefulness, use, the function, the purpose. It serves the form, it appears, and the name it enjoys is what? One is a pot, the clay becomes recognized. Clay has recognition. Clay obtaining in the form of a pot has recognition. Clay remaining as clay, no recognition. Is it clear? So recognition is dependent on appearance. The reality is in the form of universe, it has recognition. So recognized reality, recognizable reality is Ishvara. Non-recognizable reality is Brahma. Is it clear? So what is recognized is reality only. When it is recognized, name is different, Ishvara. Like how the clay, don't stretch the examples again. When the clay enjoys the status of being the cause of the pot from the standpoint of the form, name and function called a pot. Without the clay, the form cannot exist, name cannot exist, the function is not possible. The purpose it serves also is not possible. Nama Rupa Karma. Karma, the word karma, don't take it as work or action or parma param. Karma here means nama rupa karma, means that the purpose or function. Okay? So the clay is not the cause. The standpoint of form, name and function, because the form, name and function cannot enjoy existence independently without the clay, the new name, okay, the causal status is attributed to the clay. Similarly, the whole universe, like all these innumerable countless forms, names and functions which constitute the form, the universe, also cannot exist independently without the vastu. From the standpoint of this appearance called world, and here the clay, this reality vastu is given the status of being the cause, therefore Ishvaraha. Understand? Ishvaraha. Is very clear now? Therefore, Ishvara is in the form of everything, means Ishvara is Brahma, but Brahma is not Ishvara. Is Brahman, does consciousness enjoy, does consciousness have the status of being Ishvara? Yes. Is consciousness Ishvara? No. But who is Ishvara? Consciousness. Let me be very clear. Brahman is not Ishvara, but Ishvara is Brahma. So Ishvara is a status, therefore it is mithya. Any status attribute also is mithya. Brahman is not mithya. The status attributed to Brahman is what? Mithya. Is it clear? Now, the knower status attributed is also mithya. But the consciousness is satyam. Knower status is mithya. Okay, Ishvara status is mithya. Now, this Ishvara, so the whole, all that is here is only Ishvaraha. This fact must be very clear by now. That is why in Vedic culture, we can take any one given thing as an alambanam to invoke the grace of Ishvara. Why? Everything is, there's nothing which is different from Ishvara. There is nothing which is different from Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Ishvara is not anything, but everything is Ishvara. Ishvara is the reality distinct from everything, but nothing in the world is different from Ishvara. Therefore, everything is Ishvara. Any one given thing can become a symbol which stands for the whole. Okay? Can represent, one wave can represent the entire ocean. Any one given object can represent the whole. That is why we are able to have murtis to worship. Okay, one thing becomes representative of the whole. Is it clear? Now, this Ishvara alone, in the form of threefold factors. How? Adhyatmam, Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam. Now why I prepared all these things? Whatever I have told you now, until now, you have already understood. I have to start from what you already understood. adhi adhyatmam adhi bhutam adhi daivam. What is adhyatmam? Anything pertaining to an individual. Atma with body, mind, sense complex, individual is adhyatmam. The word adhi, the expression, not word. In adhyatmam, if you break it, it's a component adhi. Adhi means the center. Okay? So adhi atmam, anything pertaining to an individual is adhyatmam. So what, who is now adhyatmam? Ishvara is now adhyatmam. And anything else in the world, varieties of things and beings in the world, are all what now? Adhibhutam. Adhibhutam. And there is connection between adhyatmam and adhibhutam. There is connection between adhyatmam and adhibhutam. How the connection? If there is blood flowing in your body, which is liquid, a fluid, lots of saliva, etc., what is adhyatmam? What is connection? What is electric connecting outside is water. Water. These fluids in the body, in terms of blood and saliva, etc., are connected to the blood. Water outside, and you're breathing, the prana is there, which is connected to the air element outside. Like that, this connection between the adhibhutam and adhyatmam, adhyatmam and adhibhutam. How is it connected, if you ask? How a corresponding object is connected to its corresponding sense organ. For example, sweetness, connection between the sweetness or bitterness with the taste bud. That the taste bud have connection with only with this object of taste in terms of sweetness, bitterness, etc. Isn't it? Even if I put a sugar crystal into my ear, it will go and cause problems. You cannot know the tree's sweetness. And even keeping your eyes wide also, somebody comes and shouts at your eyes. If you are deaf, nothing can be heard. What I am saying, the connection between the sound and the power of hearing, the connection between the taste bud and the taste, the sweetness or bitterness, is what. So that's how the connection between adhyatmam and adhibhutam is there. Now the adhyatmam is connected to the adhibhutam by a given law. Given law associated with the devata. So this given devata, the law which connects, the law is involved in connecting the adhibhutam and adhidaivam. That law associated with the devata is called adhidaivam. We learned three words now. Adhyatmam, adhibhutam, adhidaivam. Don't worry, I'll be repeating it. I'll repeat all these things again. I know all new terms. No, I'm a person known for repetition. I will repeat. three different names. I'm going to elaborate on this because you have to understand Ishvara as an order. Amazing, the methodology the Swami is teaching is understanding Bhagavan as order. Okay, always, what is order? Isn't it? I want to clarify it. But so I want to introduce these terms first, then I'll move on to, I'll again come back and introduce, explain this later on. Let me stop here. Okay? So Ishvara means there is no fourth factor here. Adhyatmam, Adidaivam, Adibhutam, all are what now? Ishvara only. So Ishvara, the whole means what? Manifest knowledge. Ishvara, the knowledge which is appearing in the form of all these forms, names and functions, Ishvara evoked in one, any given Adibhutam. Ishvara, the whole, invoked in any given Adibhutam is also what? Adidaivam. Ishvara invoked in any Adibhutam is Adidaivam. Then that Adibhutam, which is where Ishvara is invoked, is called Devata. For example, if Bhagavan the whole is invoked in the form of sun, because very common, Gayatri Mantra onwards, isn't it? Bhagavan the whole, Ishvara the whole, who is Ishvara? Total knowledge, all knowledge is manifest in the form of the whole cosmos. But how much have we discovered now in the field of chemistry, physics, biochemistry, biology, biosciences? Little we have discovered. And so much has been discovered in every field. Okay? The already manifestation is there. How much have we discovered in this total manifestation? Very little. Even then we are enjoying the best of comforts. Isn't it? The more and more we discover, the more and more technology brings out new things. Our infrastructure enhances. We have better comforts and enjoying. What I want to say here is, the knowledge manifests the universe. Therefore, that is Ishvara, the Lord, means how much ever big it is. There are only three factors: Adhyatmam, Adhidaivam, Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam. Okay, I'll explain these three terms again in the next session. Let me stop here. Why you have to understand here? We have to see in the following lesson the story involving all the elements here. All other devatas are involved in the story. What I want to say, the truth of devatas also is Ishvara. Truth of Adhyatmam is also Ishvara. Truth of Adidaivam is also Ishvara. There is nothing which is not Ishvara. Which means you can see even the devatas as jivas. That is something very subtle. I'll make it clearer next session, don't worry. And here, what have you understood in the first two chapters? There is only vastu, which is because of the presence of which, just by its mere presence of which, all the sense powers are functioning, all the powers of organs of actions are functioning, the mind is functioning, and all the pranas are functioning. Therefore, life in every individual being itself is possible because of this presence of the truth, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, without which nothing is possible. Existence itself is not possible. Without the vastu, even existence of forms, names and functions is not possible. Where is the question of their being alive? Where is the question of their being functional? Where is the question of their experience of enjoyments, experiences, etc.? Nothing is possible. and its effect. Once you understand, everything is possible, existence, Satta Spurti. I want to get these two words. Satta means existence. Spurti means consciousness. What is that which lends Satta, existence, to everything here? Vastu. What is that which lends Spurti to everything here, consciousness to everything? It is the Vastu. Okay, Vastu implied by the term Atma or Brahma, obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual being, available for recognition in the mind of every individual, alone lends existence and consciousness to everything. Therefore, we look at everything as blessing of Brahman in the form of Ishvara. Is it clear? Why Ishvara's status is attributed to Vastu? Because it is the Vastu which lends existence, which lends consciousness, thereby enables everything function and act. All the actions or functions are enabled not by any action, by very mere presence of Vastu. Is it clear? Therefore, the ruler status is attributed to Vastu, Ishvara. There is no ruler sitting here, okay, controlling everything. You understand why eat? Why Bhagavan is called eat? The ruler means what? Just by his mere presence, lends consciousness and existence consciousness. Thereby, mere presence enables all happening of all functions and actions. Therefore, this Vastu is given the status of being the Lord of everything. So Lord is looked upon as the one from whom everything comes into existence, by whom everything is sustained, in whom everything is resolves. Means the existence enjoyed is Bhiksha from Bhagavan. The sentiency enjoyed is Bhiksha from Bhagavan. The gift from Prasadam from Bhagavan. Bhiksha means, understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And consciousness enjoyed is Bhagavan's Bhiksha. Which means, so if at all of us are doing so many things, we're all blessed, every individual is blessed with one's own special skills and talents. We all exhibit in our actions and behavior and what we are doing. So when we are doing, whenever our actions are appreciated, what we contribute through our actions, our presence appreciated, we must be very careful how we appropriate those credentials, how we appropriate those, how we appropriate appreciation, how we appropriate those, the any fame, name or glory. Be very careful. Anything somebody is appreciating you, Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan's prasadam, we must be able to tell. It's very difficult, isn't it? It's called recognition of Ishvara. Is very important. When you recognize Ishvara in everything you do, in any appreciation comes, glory comes, fame comes, name comes, popularity comes, because of what you're able to do, what you're blessed with the ability to do, then we must be careful in recognizing Ishvara there, Bhagavan's grace there. Then your ego is kept in check. Otherwise, yes, I did it. I worked very hard. I only did it means what? You forget Ishvara. And Bhagavan will come and give a blow. Okay? That is what we are going to understand in this story. And here, see, in Puranas, actually Upanishadic information, okay, generally always there is war between asuras and devas. Always war. So the wars are not new, okay. Asuras and devas in us are always fighting. And those wars expressed are what? The so-called all wars outside. That's why inner harmony is very important. You have to discover peace in yourself first. Then thinking about without, don't need to worry about the peace in the world, okay. First you look after yourself. Shastram says, Shastra is teaching it, first of all you look after yourself. And when you are restless and agitated and disturbed, all a constant war between asuras and devas in you, and you are so agitated, you are restless and you want to go and work for the world peace. Understand? Shastra tells you are sinking, protect yourself first. You don't want to give hand to other person who is sinking. You uplift yourself. Then you try to uplift other person. Anyway, so here constant war. I'll explain the symbol, what asura symbolizes, what deva symbolizes later on. Now let us take it as asuras and devas are fighting. And whenever they fight, mostly devas win and sometimes asuras lose. And asuras sometimes win also, devas lose, and they go seek help of Bhagavan. But this time there was a fight between devas and asuras, and because devas were supported by their punyam, devas had their punyam because of good karma they had, good karma because of the right actions. And they have the punyam, they had Bhagavan's grace, therefore devas won. And asuras lost. After asuras lost, and always the devas wanted to celebrate their victory with the party. And they all have wanted to get together, and they're all very happy. And they all boasting how they really won the battle. They won. We have won the battle. Amazing. We have won the battle. We are victorious. We are victorious means they were reveling in their victory and completely forgot the presence of Bhagavan. Understand? Forgetting the presence of Bhagavan means not being able to recognize the fact that how everything here is enabled to do what it is capable of doing because of the presence of the truth, which by its mere presence lends satta and spurti. I'm going to repeat these two expressions until it gets you remember it. Satta spurti pradata Bhagavan. See, even though light does not do anything here, by its mere presence lends existence to all the operatings. And thereby it enables, by its mere presence, every object what it is capable of function. Isn't it? So satta spurti pradata. So devas were boasting and Bhagavan wanted to teach a lesson. In fact, punishment in Vedic culture is always for correction, not for destruction. Okay, whenever something goes wrong, somebody is doing something wrong, of course punishment, the person deserves the punishment. Punishment is not for destroying, undoing the person. Punishment is always for correcting the person. The person's errors are corrected. The person can enjoy the joy of remaining with the fact. That's all. That's the idea. Okay, so here, let us read here. See the first mantra. I know I'll come back and elaborate on the topic of Ishvara again. Okay. I want you to remember one line from Shankara's commentary. I cannot just leave it. Tadeva hi brahma sarva prakarena prashastru. Sarva prakarena prashastru. Shastru means rikarantaha pullingaha shastru shabdaha. In nominative case, shasta. Shasta means governor, ruler. And Bhagavan invoked as Ayyappa. In Kerala is called Shasta. One of the names of Bhagavan is Shasta. Shasta means what? Ruler, governor. Okay, the word Shasanam means governing, government. In India, if you come, you come across this word Shasanam. Government, governance. Shasta means governor. And Prashastru, Bhagavan is Prashastra. How does Bhagavan govern? Not by instructing, no, poking his nose into everything, like coming and fighting with people. When somebody has to, you have to get something done, you have to talk to the person. You have to be nice to the person. You have to pat the person. You have to appreciate the person's work. You have to make the person feel recognized. Oh, so much you have to do to get something done to somebody. Isn't it? Not an easy joke. There's a way how you deal with people. And a lot of effort is involved. And you must be 100% totally magnanimous and accommodative of all things. Draining, emotionally very draining, when put up with people, with the way they do things. Not easy. But Bhagavan, not in one word, just by presence. It's a Raja, like Raja, king. King doesn't need to tell his ministers, you do this, you do this. No. King sees everything happens, all departments work. Like that, Bhagavan is Prashasta, Sarva Prashasta. Who is Ishvara here? The reality by mere presence, lending existence and consciousness, enables everything functional action. All functions and actions is Sarva Prashasta. All governor. The truth of all governance. The truth of all governance is Bhagavan. Therefore, Sarva Prashasta Devanamapi Paraha Devaha. Devanamapi Paraha Devaha. Okay? The more exalted, the most exalted of all devas, all phenomena. Every phenomenon is blessed with amazing capacity, amazing powers. Every phenomenon is blessed with tremendous amount of capacity and powers and shakti. That's why everything is Devaha Devata and Devanamapi Paraha. The exalted among, the most exalted, superior to even all the Devas. Ishwaranamapi Parameshwaraha. The Lord of all Lords, Lord Deva of all Devas, Durvigneyaha, it is very difficult to discover that Parameshwara, Paramatma, Parambrahma. Why? Unknowable, imperceptible, unobjectifiable, indescribable, inconceivable, not an object, therefore Durvigneyaha. Okay, the unknowable has to be known. How? Unknowable when you say, how can you know it? Durvigyeyaha. Okay, and it is the Lord, Devanam Jayahetuhu. It is Bhagavan who enables Devas win. Jaya Hetu. It is Bhagavan who make asuras loose. Why? Bhagavan is in the form of law and order. Bhagavan is talked about later. Anyway, you will see that. So here the story begins like this. So I said all devas are having party. Look at this now. Brahmaha Devebhyo Vijigne. Tasyaha Brahmanaha Vijaye Devaha Amahiyanta. Brahmaha Devebhyaha Vijigne means who won the victory for Devas. Devas fought and won their victory, or who won the victory for Devas? Two questions. Did Devas win? Devas attain victory? Or did Bhagavan accomplished victory for them? Bhagavan accomplished victory for them. The first sentence Upanishad wants to say start like that. Brahmaha Devebhyo Vijigne means what? It is Brahma. It is Brahman alone for the sake of Devas. Okay. Accomplished victory. It is Ishvara who enabled Devas win. Ishvaraha accomplished victory for Devas. But tasyaha brahmanaha vijaye. But the victory belongs to whom? Devas were instruments in the hands of, okay? Devas fought, Devas won, but actually who determined the result of victory for Devas? Who determined the result of losing the game for Devas, asuras? Who determined it? Who determined the victory and defeat for victory for Devas, defeat for asuras? Who determined? Bhagavan in the form of law and order determined defeat for asuras, determined victory for Devas. Why did asuras lose the game? Because their prasadam was, Bhagavan gave them the prasada. What prasadam they were given? No? Defeat. What prasadam Devas had? Victory. Which means, victory and defeat are prasadam ordained by Bhagavan in the form of order for Devas and for asuras in keeping with their punyam and papam. If it is understood, then who got the victory, who accomplished victory for Devas? Bhagavan. Isn't it? But it is not recognized. So whenever anything best you enjoy, we must be able to see it as prasada. But we fail. When suffering comes, we say, suffering also is prasada. Loss also is prasada. Gain also is prasada. But we don't see that. The prasada buddhi is very important. The more you understand Ishvara, the more you will have this attitude towards everything which comes in life. Understand? That is why understanding of Ishvara is very important. The worship, the prayer, not mechanically chanting, the singing, the chanting, the prayer, the worship, the shastra study. In fact, the more and more and more we understand the nature of reality, the more we understand how reality is manifest as order, the more you appreciate Ishvara, the more you will have this Prasada Buddhi. The more you have Prasada Buddhi, more you will be, you will be calm, you will not be disturbed, because it will be acceptance of everything with sameness of mind. So victory is Bhagavan ordained Prasada. Defeat of the Asuras also Bhagavan ordained Prasada. But so it is Bhagavan's gift Prasada. But so the victory belongs to, actually, even though Devas attained victory, still victory actually is Bhagavan's victory. So the mantra says, Brahmanaha Vijaye Devaha Amahiyanta. Even though the victory is accomplished by the presence of Bhagavan in the form of order, but these Devaha reveled in that victory. Reveling the victory means what? Nothing wrong in enjoying. Thanks. They can say, okay, thank you Bhagavan, you have helped us win the battle. They could have been like that. Instead, they reveled in the victory means they claimed the victory as their achievement and accomplishment. They claimed the victory as their accomplishment, their achievement, their success, their effort. Which means, where is their identity? The identity, their identity is with their body. And their identity is with their actions. Their identity is with their result of actions. So, we did it, we got it, it's our victory, it's our efforts. Means Bhagavan's presence is forgotten. Is it clear? So he says, Brahma Deve Bhyo Vijigne. Brahman Parameshwara won the victory, but Brahmanaha Vijaye Devaha Amahiyanta. Even though victory belongs to Brahma, Parameshwara, Bhagavan, all these Devas claimed that victory as their own. They reveled in that victory, reveling in their victory. Okay. That means te devaha. Okay, te aikshanta asmakam eva ayam vijayaha asmakam eva ayam mahima iti. Okay, they aikshanta, they saw means what? They were thinking, asmakam eva ayam vijayaha, this victory is our victory, this great glory is our glory, this victory is our victory, this glory is our glory. Oh, we have defeated the asuras, we have won, this is our glory, this is our victory. Understand? Asmakam eva ayam vijayaha means what? This victory is our victory. Our hard work, our efforts, we got it. Understand? What should have been their expression? We have won, we have got, really we are victorious because of grace of Bhagavan. Bhagavan has ordained victory, acknowledging our good karma. We have got it. So asmakam ayam vijayaha, asmakam ayam mahima iti. Now Bhagavan saw. Look at the next sentence. Taddha yesham vijagnyau tebhyaha pradurbhuva pradurbhuva. The mantras are not very clear. The sense we had to make out. Tad ha. Ha indeed. Okay. Yesham vijagnyau. Bhagavan understood. Tad means what? Tad Brahma. Bhagavan Brahma. Tad means Brahma. Brahma means Ishvara, Parameshwara. The truth obtaining in him of knowledge, which alone is manifest as everything, which is enjoying the status of being Ishvara, that Ishvara Parameshvara Vijajnyau Parameshvara understood their thinking. Okay, just a presentation here. Yesham means what? Their vain pride. What Bhagavan has understood? Bhagavan has understood their, only it is there. But their what? Bhagavan has understood their what? Vain pride. Vain pride. Why vain pride? There's nothing for them to feel proud of. But still they feel proud. And that for no reason be feeling proud is what? Vain pride. Yesham vijagnyau. We have to supply this. No, the word pride is not there. We have to supply. Yesham means their. Bhagavan understood their intention. Bhagavan understood, Bhagavan knew their vain pride, vanity. Okay? And being proud for nothing. What is your achievement? What do you feel proud of? You can be thankful for you have achieved because Bhagavan's grace. Isn't it? That's what it said. Taddha yesham vijagnyau tebhya. Okay? Bhagavan, that sentence ends there. Taddha yesham vijagnyau. There ends the sentence. The first sentence is te aikshanta. Asmakam eva ayam vijaha. Asmakam eva ayam mahimaiti. Oh, this victory is ours. This glory is ours. That's what they saw, the victory. They could not see. Aikshanta means they saw. What did they see? They saw their victory as their own victory, their own glory. They could not see the victory as Bhagavan's prasada. Te kim ikshitavantaha, kim aikshanta? Not as Bhagavat prasadam na aikshitavantaha. They did not see it as Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan's gift, Bhagavan's prasadam. They saw it as their asmakam, not Bhagavataha. Aikshanta they saw not as Bhagavataha prasadaha, but they saw it as asmakam, our victory, our glory. And this their intention and vain pride, vanity, Bhagavan understood. Taddha yesham vijagnyau. Okay, now Bhagavan wanted to teach a lesson. That is said in the next sentence. Tebhyaha. The second sentence starts next from there. Tebhyaha pradurbhuva. And tebhyaha pradurbhuva means, so then Bhagavan Parameshwara appeared. Parameshwara appeared for them. Appeared for them, appeared in front of them. And Bhagavan appeared, Pradurbhuva means what? Appeared. Suddenly Bhagavan appeared. Parameshwara appeared. Appeared in such a way that they could see Bhagavan's presence, but they could not see who Bhagavan was. Okay? Like now we all see, we know we are, but we do not know what we are. We see the world, there is worldies. Bhagavan must have created the world. We say creator of the world must be, we know, we do not know who the creator is. Knowing the existence is partial knowledge, but not knowing what is that which is existent is what? Total knowledge. Knowing the very existence itself is partial knowledge. And knowing what is that which is existent is total knowledge. And these people also, when the Bhagavan appeared there, appeared, they understood there is something. But they did not know what it is. Bhagavan did not appear very closely, not he appeared very far. He appeared in such a distance, such a way, they could see, but they could not make out what it was. Tanna vyajanata kimidam yakshamiti. Now, yaksham. Bhagavan appeared as yaksham. Yaksham means what here? Yaksham means that which is brilliant and that which deserves worship. Yajana yogyaha pujyaha is yaksha. Something very brilliant, blazing, which deserves worship, and highly fascinating. What it is, the devas could not describe. There's something appeared. And that which deserves respect, which commands reverence, okay, highly fascinating, what it is. It's what is yaksham. Pradur tat na vyajanata, they did not know what that yaksham was. Kimidam yaksham. See, first thing, when something appeared and the devas are all very popular, well known, like intellectual giants of these days, okay, there are people who want to develop themselves into great intellectuals. They want to know everything, every field and every discipline. You know, there are some people in the world who read voraciously all books. They want to be able to answer all questions in any subject matter people ask. They want to answer. The people really work very hard to develop themselves into so-called well-known intellectuals. No, and these devas are also very popular like that. Devas means the world celebrities. Celebrity intellectuals like. And these devas, for this the first blow is what? Something has appeared, yaksham, which seems to be highly fascinating and which is highly demanding reverence. And what is that? They do not know. How can there is something which we do not know? How can there be something which we do not know? Not being able to know something which we do not know itself is what? First blow. You must know that you do not know. Knowing that I do not know will make me, okay, it will make me 1 inch thinner. My ego. I should know, I do not know. The problem is, we are more egoistic when we do not know that we do not know. It is very important for us to know that we do not know. Isn't it? So these devas also had some first shock, blow, that they do not know. Yaksham appeared. Oh, we do not. Yaksham is, they see yaksham. They see how it is amazingly fascinating, how brilliant. They couldn't explain what it is. What is this yaksham? Once you do not know, you do not know. And you cannot rest. You will naturally, chased by your ignorance, to know what it is. You know that? Once you know, the knowledge of ignorance will always drive you to know more. Because no intellect can stand ignorance. Because ignorance is pain. That is why all magazines are sold in the world. Okay? Because people want to know get some information somewhere, what subject they are interested in. Because I need to know what's happening in the world. Because that is the nature of intellect. So these devas also became very curious, very inquisitive. They want to discover what it is. And who are the devas here? Mantra does not say who are the devas. And Shankaracharya says, Agniyadi. Swarupa Parichinna Atmakritaha. All these, the Agnihi, Vayuhu, Agnihi, fire god. Vayuhu, wind god. All these are devas, okay? Imagine personified now. Now Agni, Vayuhu, and the Indra, all these devas, the Indra is the lord of the all leader of devas. All of them with their head, they had a nice party, and then they were all together, they see this yaksha, they're surprised, and now they decided. Okay, what is this? Te Agnim Abruvan. Te Agnim Abruvan. All those devas, okay, they had a meeting together. Whom shall we send first to discover this, who, what this yaksham is? And Agni is of the, Agni has fire, Agni is fire, Agni is light, Agni is illumining, okay? Agni has the capacity to illumine, Agni has capacity to burn, so Agni is powerful devata. So all of them, they said, okay, let us send Agni. Agni felt, okay, I am sent first. Agni felt a little proud. Agnim Abruvan. Agni raised his collar, getting ready to go. Agnim Abruvan. And they all called Agni Jataveda. You know what is the name of Agni? Jatavedaha. Mantra uses the word Jatavedaha is one of the names of fire god. Agni. We'll see so many names. Havyabhuk, Havirbhuk, Havyavahanaha. So many names are there in the rituals, in the Karmakanda portion. So here Agnim Abruvan, they said to Agni, oh Agni, how did they call him? Jataveda, hey Jataveda, etad vijanihi, please understand this, etad vijanihi, may you go and understand, find out, kimidam yaksham iti, you go and find out and tell us what this yaksham is. Very simple language here, isn't it? Kim idam yaksham iti yetad vijanihi. Do, please, you go and find out. You discover for us. Agni said, tatha iti, tatha. Okay, okay, let me go first. Agni agreed. Nice to have some story, isn't it? Yetad vijanihi kim idam yaksham iti. They said, next word. Tatha iti is answer of Agni. Agni said, okay. Now before let go to the next mantra, let me tell you. Now what does the word Jatavedaha mean? Jatavedas. Jatavedaha. See, Vedam here means dhanam. Shankaracharya means use the meaning dhanam. Jatam dhanam yasmat. Jatam Vedam yasmat. Means the one because of whose blessing one can make money. If a person performs rituals, in all rituals, whichever rituals performed, we have to only invoke the Agni first. So Agni enables the performer of rituals with all the ends they want to accomplish. People perform rituals as a result of rituals, and they accomplish all their ends, all forms of wealth, all forms of prosperity. Is it clear now? So ritual is performed and there is a result for every ritual, and whatever ritual people perform, they accomplish a given end as a result of that ritual. And the people can accomplish any number of ends in terms of all forms of prosperity and wealth by performing rituals. And who is the one who enables people accomplish different ends, different forms of wealth? Remain, you know? Agni. Therefore, Agni is said to be the bestower of wealth. Okay? Bestower of wealth, Jatavedas, Jatavedaha, in this context, Jatavedaha. Not Jatavedas, Jatavedaha. Hey Jataveda, etad vijanihi kimidam yaksham iti, would you please find out what is yaksham is? Okay. Tatha is the answer of Agni, and he goes now. Agni goes. being thinking, I've been sent as a representative of all devas. Okay? When somebody comes from India, our Prime Minister comes to other country, representing the whole of India. Isn't it? Somebody sent as a representative means what? He becomes a number one person. Isn't it? Representative of somebody. Somebody means he is a person, somebody means he is somebody big. So here Agni also goes with, again already more, ego is again more bloated. He comes a representative of all the devas. Tad, now let us see the mantra. Tad, abhyadravat, tam, abhyadravat, tad abhyadravat, tam abhyadravat. Abhyadravat means gatavan, tat prati gatavan, adravat. So Agni approached this yaksha. Agni approached this yaksha. Agni came close to his yaksha to find out what this yaksha is. To ask yaksha, hey, who are you? How come that you can exist in the world without our knowledge? We are all devas. That's what Agni's intention. Agni comes there. Abhi adravat, abhyadravat. Okay, this Agni approached yaksha. And before even Agni opened his mouth, okay, to ask something, yaksha asked the question. Who should speak first? Yaksha or Agni? How can Agni speak first? Yaksha only has to speak first. So Yaksha says, Kaha Asit? Kosit? We read now. Kosit. Kosit. No? Means what? No. Kosi.
Kosi.
Iti.
Iti.
Kosi.
Kosi.
Kosi means what? Kaha Asi. Break it. Kosi means what? Kaha Asi. Who are you? Tvam Kaha Asi. Simple kindergarten expression. Tvam Kaha Asi. Who are you? And who is asking this? Yaksham is asking Agni. Who are you? Agni felt really humbled, humiliated. I, the Agni, am Jata Vedaha, the bestower of wealth. You know, I am praised in all the rituals. I am the main carrier of, I am the postman to all these devatas carrying food. I am worldwide well known. And me, Agni, this yaksha asks, who are you? First to blow. Do you get it, fine, what I am saying? See, some celebrity comes, okay. That person is worldwide well known. Suppose, simply I go and ask, Mina, who are you? Who are you? Other persons don't ask. This person very world famous person. It was even the very question asking who are you was enough for Agni to smallness to be triggered. The fundamental problem to be triggered and pain will come. Whenever fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I is triggered, there comes pain. What is pain? Pain is a mental condition which we go through. Whenever the sense of smallness centered on I is sense of smallness, I is triggered. I don't remember I am small. All this central smallness is there, I forget. Thinking some I am big. I forget my smallness, fundamental problem. Thinking I am big because I am doing something, achieving something. Isn't it? Sometimes these temporary results make me feel good and then I forget. And somebody like this asks questions. No? That triggers my problem. Like that Agni was asked. Kosi, kosi, kaha asi, iti. So before, as soon as Agni approached Yaksha, Yaksha asked Agni, who are you? Then Agni tells, Agni somehow managed the pain of being small and recovered from that pain quickly somehow and answered, aham Agnihi, asmi. Abravit, jatavedaha va aham iti, aham Agnihi, aham jatavedaha. I am Agni, I am the bestower of wealth. Look at this, even the answer. I am the bestower of wealth, aham jataveda. Here you should remember why Agni could not speak. Okay? Because of Yaksha's will, Agni could not speak. Even though Agni went to ask, Agni could not speak. Agni, before even Agni opened, Yaksha asked the question. You have to remember, Agni is a devata of organ of speech. Okay? And organ of speech is what produces words. And organ of the function of the organ of speech is possible because of the blessing of consciousness. You already understood Brahma. And the word itself, the truth of very word itself is what? Brahma, Ishvara. How can the word describe Brahma? How can word ask the truth of the word, who are you? Understand? Parameshwara, the Parameshwara is the very truth of the word, can never be a meaning of the word. Understand? And Agni symbolizes what? Agni is the devata of organ of speech. Got it? So here, so the before even Agni asked, Yaksham asked, Kosi, who are you? Agni, aham Agni, I am the fire. I am known as Jatavedas. I am known as Jatavedaha. Aham asmi iti. As soon as Agni said, boasted, I am Jatavedaha. And Yaksham asked, look at the next mantra. Tasmin, Tvayi. Actually, Tasmig is there. It's okay. Tasmin, Tvayi, Kim Viryam, Iti. See, that there you have to stop the question. Yaksha's question stops that. All mantras together. Okay. What I'll do, I'll write and give you, I'll break and give you. But where the question ends, where the answer begins. Tasmin, Tvayi, Kim Viryam, Iti. Now Yaksha asked, oh, you are Jatavedaha, bestower of wealth. Oh, you are Agni. Okay, in such you. You are that great, in such you, the Pacha person you. Kim Tvayi Viryam, what capability is there on your part? Tvayi Kim Viryam Asti, what capability is on your part? What is that you are endowed with? What capacity are you endowed with? What is the efficiency? Okay? In you, what Kim Viryam Asti Tvayi? Yaksham is asking. Immediately the Agni jumps and tells, you know what I can do? Api means what? All that is, idam sarvam daheyam. Idam sarvam daheyam, you know, I can burn everything on this earth. Maybe where he was, it means the entire earth. Anything on this earth, I can burn. Daheyam. Yadidam prithivyam. Yadidam, whatever is on this earth, whatever in this place here where I am standing, or whatever on this entire earth, I can burn. I can burn and reduce everything into ashes. You have to imagine a conversation between Yaksha and Agni. Can you enact? Do you see that? You can do that. It, oh, for everything, what Ragvi said, the yaksha was, oh, okay, you can burn everything on this earth, okay, come on, burn this. Agni put, yaksha put a small dry leaf in front of Agni. Should we stop? Tasmai Trinam Nidadhava. Tasmai Trinam Nidadhava. Trinam, grass, dry grass, a small blade of grass, dry grass, you put in front of fire. Oh, Daksham. Yetat Daha. He ordered. Yetat Daha Iti. Yetat Daha. Oh, Agni. You can burn anything on this earth and reduce everything into ashes. Aham dahayam, you said. Now, burn this tiny little blade of grass, dry grass, not even green, dry grass. Okay. Daha, may you burn this grass. Iti. Agni, again next blow. I, the Agni, the burner. Okay, I can reduce anything in the world into ashes and water. Just imagine, suppose the richest person comes here to the ashram. He wants to give a big donation to the ashram. He come and ask Swamiji, what can I give you? Swamiji must have given a big check. Okay, give me this much. He says, get me a packet of coconut chips. That fellow feels very embarrassed. He is a rich billionaire. Very richest man comes and wants to give some donation. And he wants to ask Swami, he asks, what can I give? Swamiji asks him to get him a small packet of chips. He feels so humbled, humiliated. He does not like, you remember, our Mahabali Chakravarti went to, the Bhagawan went to Bali Chakravarti. Tiny little person, what can I give you? Oh, Bali, Mahabali, I'm a Chakravarti, I'm a big emperor, I can give you anything you're asking just for this 3 feet of land. See, going, approaching a richest person, biggest person, asking for very small gift is again humiliating that person. Know that. You're always, when you go to somebody, you want some obligation, you want something, you must be very careful what you're asking for. In keeping with the person's status, you must ask something very big. The small things can be taken care of by some local people, isn't it? Ordinary people. The big person must be, big gift must be expected from a big person. A small gift must be expected from an ordinary person. So Agni thinks of himself a very big person, and when Yaksha told, please burn this small, tiny little grass, Yaksha felt offended, humiliated again. Next to blow. God, how many blows? Ahankara blow. Isn't it? He expects me, he wants me to dry this, which means he thinks I cannot do this. Again, smallness is triggered. Whenever smallness is the fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I is triggered, it is a pain. Okay? The sense of being humiliated. Humiliation is again sense of the triggering of fundamental problem, which is a pain. Okay, now Agni want to really this. Agni thought he can just blow it off. Tadu.
Tadu.
Upa preya. Sarvajavena. With all speed, Agni went to burn it. Tanna shashaka dagdham. Tanna shashaka dagdhum. Agni could not burn. He was asked to burn the tiny little grass. That was a humiliation. And now Agni could not burn. That was again a big pain, more pain. My God, I can't burn it. I can burn anything here and reduce everything into ashes. Now I cannot burn. So, tathu na shashaka dagdhum. Na shashaka means agnihi na shaktavan. Agni was not able to burn that grass. Okay. Then what happened? He tried all his best. Puja Swamiji used to tell in his class. Now he used to make it a little more dramatic. Now he will say, okay, I could not burn, reduce into ashes. Atle, let me bake it, let me sit on it. This is Swamiji's added expression. Let me sit on it and get baked at least. I remember his class. Okay, so that's what. Then also Agni failed. Agni could not delay. Where is the question of burning and reducing it to ashes? Could not even bake it. Which means, Tanna shashaka dagdham. So Swamiji is okay, don't mix it. Anyway, Agni failed. Agni failed in his effort of wanting to know who Yaksha was. This is what is beautifully said in Taittiriya Upanishad. Yato vacho nivartante apra apya manasa saha. Words fail when they try to approach Brahma. The words when they try to reveal Brahma. Okay, word, if you use words to describe Brahma, will fail. How can the truth of word be described by word? Is it clear now? Na tatrava gachati, na tatrava gachati. That line is explained by this small story. We'll come back and see. I want to go. I don't want to stop, but it's okay. Stop. You should know what is the story, what it says here, what is symbolically presented here, isn't it? Natatra vagachati. That has been explained. And we'll see how manahana gachati. Now how, isn't it? We'll all see that. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.